Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can call and be a part of the show, leaving a message and joining in where you want. With me this week is my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
You are sounding great. A little bit of new technology on his end and some of the old technology on my end, too. So we're here to talk about, let's start off with the craziest week in the NFL by far this season, maybe in the last couple seasons, week 10 of the NFL. No less than 7 road teams winning, and a lot of underdogs, too, taking a lot of those games. It was, and the outcomes and the end of game, just a crazy, crazy week overall.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And, the Cowboy-Steeler game was probably the best of them all.
By far the best. 7 lead changes, by far the most this season and in a couple of seasons. A very exciting game, a classic matchup of 2 marquee teams. Cowboys going on the road, beating the Steelers 35-30. Dak Prescott's the real deal. They've won, 8 in a row, whatever it is. They're the team to beat in the NFC. The Cowboys are back, and they're back big time.
And the rating, and because of the key matchup, the ratings are back.
I saw a 16% increase. And that's due for all the factors that we thought that the ratings had gone down. The election season ended, baseball ended, and you finally had some really marquee matchups. It's starting to get colder. People are staying in. This is the doldrums in terms of everyday life. It's starting to happen. But now, you know, that's when the NFL really heats up. The Broncos winning 25-23 in the Superdome on a blocked extra point that was then returned for a 2-point conversion. It's not a touchdown.
Yeah, so the new rule came into play.
It did. Now the question was, and Alex, our friend from England, had posed the question, wait a minute, because we saw this in the 6-6 tie between the Cardinals and the Seahawks, isn't vaulting illegal? And it's only illegal if you make contact with a player as a launcher. Like, even if you graze right. The person, or it's called, that's considered launching. But if you jump over, you might as well just be unabated to the quarterback, like on a sack.
So, and the question remains, why don't these guys stand up?
I don't know. Well, the center, if you think about how his body's moving, he's got the ball, and to get as much force as he can to hike it back, he has to put his head down to get all that extra velocity on the ball. So he can't then automatically try to stand up. Now, if you want to say, how come there isn't a guy right behind, like the tackle, to then like take his spot? I don't know. I don't know if that's...
No, I'm thinking more that, I mean, you have to stand up. If you catch a piece of him, he's leaping.
True.
You can't let him clear you. I mean, this seems like technique.
Or then have one of like the guards next to the long snapper, like throw an arm up, like, you know, instead of, you know, I don't know. But the Seahawks do it the best. They constantly vault. They've been vaulting for the last couple of years, but now the Broncos did it, and boy, it worked in their favor.
Yeah, those are exciting plays.
It is. I was totally wrong on the Packers. Packers got embarrassed by the Titans. Titans are looking really strong in that AFC South. Big win, 47-25. That score is a lot closer than the game actually was. I mean, for the Packers, James Starks is coming back this week, but you really saw what an older, beat down defense, lack of weapons for Rodgers can do to a great team like the Packers once could be.
Yeah, but this isn't the once great Packers, it doesn't look like. I mean, they look very vulnerable. In fact, they just signed the running back that the Seahawks cut. And that was an interesting move.
Oh, why didn't I not see that? Are you talking about Christine Michael? No, really? Hold on. I'll have to check that up. As we're looking that up, the Vikings continue their losing ways. As they lose on the road in... Oh, yeah, it was. Wow. Packers claim Christine Michael. My goodness, wow.
Well, I guess Rawls is coming back, but, of course, that's a statement when you get rid of him when you're struggling running the ball. So, hey, you know, the Seattle's raising their head out there.
That's true. Yeah, we'll get to that game in a second. But, yeah, the Vikings lose again on the road, 26-20 to the Redskins in Washington. Where else do you want to go? The Dolphins come back, beat the Chargers in San Diego. The Falcons lose 24-15 to the Eagles in Philadelphia. I guess the bettors had that, you know, Vegas had that line at a good place. You know, the Eagles are undefeated at home. Falcons are starting, you know, this is traditionally when they start to slip.
Yeah, well, you see, the Falcons scored 106 points in the three games prior to that. So that threshold there is, makes the team susceptible to the bounce.
Don't
get too crazy about the Eagles.
No, the bounce theory, that's a powerful one. You taught me that one a long time ago. So then let's get to the other. So yeah, Cowboys Steelers, fantastic game. How about the fact that the Cowboys were behind and they were trying to get in field goal position, and then basically Ezekiel Elliott runs up the middle, untouched, all the way in for a touchdown, and leaving only 9 seconds left on the clock.
It was like 15 seconds or something. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was nuts. That was a great game. I am not a fan of either of those teams, but I know a good game when I see it. And then, of course, the Seahawks going into New England, beating the Patriots 31-24 in a back-and-forth game that saw some big hits. Gronkowski, as much as I don't like him as a player on an opposite team, I cannot say that he's not tough. He punctured his lung halfway through the game on that big hit by Cam Chancellor and actually finished the game.
Yeah, so what punctures the lung?
Probably a rib, right?
The rib, right. So that has to rip through the cartilage there, snap, and puncture the lung. But, I mean, it was such a severe hit that he couldn't even go down. I mean, he couldn't really do anything.
No. Look,
he was like paralyzed right there. That was a huge hit.
I give him credit.
And illegal. And, you know, much like NASCAR in the car crashes, that's why we watch.
That is absolutely why we watch. And that's why there's a lot of. That's why the NFL had to settle out of court with all those former players. I didn't think that Seattle would be able to come across the country and beat the Patriots at their own game. I mean, Wilson had over close to 300.
Now, can you describe the Seattle running back?
Was it C.J. Process? Process?
Yeah.
Well, I picked
Process,
him up.
Something like that. Yeah.
I know that he is.
So he looks too late to fight, too thin to win. I mean, he ran into he like repelled off somebody. I mean, it's amazing. He has quickness and all, but I can't imagine he'll be long for this league.
No, he is a scat back if there ever was one. And I tell you what, you had kind of mentioned this to me in passing, but I think that, and I'll connect it to Jamie Collins, I think that Belichick, I mean, this is still early, but I think he may have just caught off his nose to spite his face. Got rid of Jamie Collins, and now that linebacker corner is, you know, that the front four of the Patriots aren't as strong, and now you've taken away a big, big piece in the second level with the linebacker core. That's seven. That's the front seven that's weaker. If they come across a good running game, or at least one that plays off well off the play action, they could be in trouble coming up.
Yeah. But Belichick's the Teflon Don, so nothing's going to stick there.
Campaigns for the league to move the extra point back, because it's too easy, and then his automatic kicker misses it, and they don't win the AFC championship. But aside from that, and to finish it off, the week Giants beat the Bengals 21-20. I had to turn the game off. It was getting too late, but I was so glad. They scored so early in the fourth quarter, the Giants, the final score of the game. I woke up, and it was the same score, so I didn't feel like I missed much.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. So very, very exciting week in the NFL. Looking to this week in the NFL, Dad, what are some of your best bets this week? We got a couple interesting games.
Well, I do like the Giants against the Bears.
Mm.
And the Bears are depleted, and they're a bad football team.
And they just lost Alshon Jeffrey, their leading wide receiver, to a four-game PED suspension.
And I think they have a running back out too, don't they?
Howard is okay. As in his words, I ain't got nothing.
Okay.
Because Fox, Coach Fox, saying it might have been like an ankle injury, and he's been saying all week, I ain't got nothing. So.
Okay. That's not very convincing, so I'm taking the Giants there.
Giants are given 7.5 to the Bears in New York, in East Rutherford, but yes.
Right. I was looking at the Lions game against the Jags.
Yeah.
Because the Jags are a bad road team. But I heard there was some tragedy on the Jaguars team. I don't know if there was a death of a player's relative, or I forget what it was.
That's an interesting, because Jaguars linebacker Telvin Smith granted leave of absence following the death of his brother.
He was
killed in Georgia.
Sad. And I think was it the Chiefs? Was a father of one of the players or whatever was killed in an airport? I forget.
Oh, I didn't hear about
that. Was.
I didn't hear.
Yeah,
about.
So that, you know, so all kinds of tragedy. But you know, sometimes that can bring a team together.
Right. Oh, it was the long snapper. The father of the long snapper was...
For the Chiefs?
Yeah. Man shot to death at Oklahoma City Airport is father of Chiefs long snapper, and then the shooter was found dead in his truck. So, yeah. So, do you think that tragedy in a case like the Jaguars will help them or hurt them?
Well, I don't see it as a distraction. I think it's a helpful thing. You know, it's a pause about, the gravity of situations.
The importance of what, you know, what I'm sure,
right.
What is important.
What matters.
Exactly.
And you want to be together.
True. I could see that some teams might play looser in the face of that. So, so you like the Lions there, given 6.5 in Detroit?
Well, now I'm, thinking a little bit iffy on that. You know, based on that game and also the Chiefs and the Bucks, because 7.5 to the Bucks isn't too shabby. I mean, I know it's at Chiefs, but there's better picks than that, I think. And I particularly like the Seahawks over the Eagles.
Seahawks in Seattle given 6.5.
Yeah, I'm liking that. I mean, I think they're coming alive, the Seahawks.
Yeah. Oh no, they definitely are. Everybody's healthy. I mean, it's starting to look really, really strong for them.
Right, and you got two Bruiners this week because the Rams are home and they're getting 1.5, and that line flipped because it was the Dolphins getting 1.5.
Right.
So that's a good. That's a 3-point move there. And also, the other one is the Vikings. The Cardinals were getting one, and now the Vikings are getting one.
Right.
So the Cardinals, I mean, they just eked that out against the 49ers at home.
Right, which I was rather surprised about, but I mean, that's...
So the Cardinals aren't what they used to be last year, much like the Packers. So I'd be taking the Vikings there.
Yeah, the Vikings, again, coming on, they're on a bit of a losing streak, so it's... One of them has to fall. Somebody...
And I'm thinking I wouldn't want to be the Browns this week.
No.
Because the Steelers off a loss, and now, you know, I can't remember when the Browns beat the Steelers.
There's a lot of retribution, I think, this week. The Steelers given 8.5 to the Browns in Cleveland. I don't like the Browns at all there. And then the Patriots in San Francisco. You know they're going to want to show everybody that what happened last week was not the norm. I mean, it's a big line, 13.5, but there is no reason in the world why the Patriots shouldn't cover that. I mean, that's crazy, but you know that...
You, You think Belichick will take this college amateur Kelly to school?
Absolutely, absolutely. He's going to want to make sure that nobody forget, because it's never going to, like, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are never going to just sit back and say, like, well, maybe this is, no, they're going to go out and they're going to make
people
pay.
Yeah, but it's a short week across the country. Does that matter?
See, that's the thing, like a short week. I mean, it's just a couple hours. Like, they played the night game. But I mean, I don't know. A short week to me is Thursday. When you have to lose, okay. When you lose days, not hours. That's, you know.
Right. Okay.
And knowing Bill, he's probably already out there. Like, they're probably just practicing out there. You know, he knows coaches all over the country. They're probably in Iowa because him and Kirk Ferentz are friends.
Now, what do you make it of Redskins at home, given the Packers 2.5? That's a bit of a revenge game. They knocked Packers knocked the Redskins out of the playoffs. In Washington last year.
That's right, and the Redskins, even though the division is pretty much wrapped up by the Cowboys, I mean, there's a lot of fight over for that second place impossible, one of the wild card positions. You know, the Redskins, I think they're starting to click a little bit more.
This is the Packers' consecutive road game.
It is, but at the same time, there's one thing saying Aaron, you know, I don't want to give Aaron Rodgers too much credit. He's not Superman, but I think there's something about prime time. It's very rare that the Packers would get beat in prime time, especially Aaron Rodgers in prime time. I can't remember the last time. That one's tough. I might actually take Packers there, at least to cover. I don't know if they – maybe it might be – it would be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout on either side, but, you know, I know the line's only 2.5. I would almost take the Packers there and think that the Redskins would still win.
Okay. And what do you make of the Colts at home against the Titans?
Very improved Titan team, Marcus Mariota with 4 touchdowns this past week.
And they can run the ball.
They can run the ball, and this would be their defining moment. They could take over that division with a win in Indianapolis. I still think I got to take the Colts there. Coming off a bye at home. It's really close. Those two games are very close. Colts, Titans, Washington, Green Bay. Those are both very close games to call, I think. That'd be a really tough one to go with. So. All right, so moving over very
quickly. The other thing I wanted to mention is the Raiders and the Texans. That's in Mexico.
That's in Mexico City and Azteca
Stadium.
You think
the Mexicans can boot for Texans? I can't see that. They must be Raider fans.
I would assume that first of all, I think I've heard like there's basically like 5 fan bases around the country that like travel around the country. One of them is the Raiders. Like I've heard, like the Packers, the Cowboys. What's another
one?
Well, I think Steelers.
The Cowboys make sense because they get the radio broadcast across the border.
Oh, sure, sure. But I could definitely see the Raider Nation. They call it. As much as I don't like them, I mean they're doing really well this year. I could see them beating the Texans. No problem. I don't know who the I think the Texans technically might be the home team, but I don't know. Or actually, it might be the Raiders, the home team. You know, they're trying to go out to Vegas, which that looks apparently much more likely. They've got a lot more funding for the stadium coming up, so it looks like the Raiders are almost a lock to go to Las Vegas.
Wow.
That's kind of the rumblings. It's nothing official, but that's what it's really, really pointing towards is that it's going to be official before you know it, Raiders.
Yeah, but that's going to take a team off our menu, you know, a game off our menu every week.
In what way? Oh, for betting.
You won't be able to bet on them.
True. That's very true, but...
Well, why would we root for that?
Well, it depends how you feel about the Raiders in Oakland and when you look at the stadium and I don't know.
When I look at the stadium, I've never seen it.
No, I mean the Oakland Coliseum where the Raiders play and the A's play, and this is a place that the sewage drains upward into the locker rooms. It's kind of sad.
Well, I also remember George Steinbrenner saying the steel beam was going to collapse in the Yankee Stadium, and then people had to wear hard hats or whatever to get a new stadium. I mean, you hear all kinds of things like that.
True. But to be fair, there actually was a steel beam that fell in Yankee Stadium. So, you know, you go that way.
I say it was pushed.
I'm sure you do. Let's move over to baseball really quickly. Speaking of baseball.
Oh, some big-time awards announced.
Big-time awards, Manager of the Year, Terry Francona, deservedly for the Indians. Remember, all these awards were voted on prior to the end of the season. So the Terry Francona won for the Cleveland Indians in the AL, and in the NL, Dave Roberts, who, I mean, as a Met fan, I saw Terry Collins have to deal with a lot of injuries, and he made it to the wild card playoff game. But Dave Roberts won a division over the hated rival Giants, made it to the National League Championship Series. You know, in hindsight, he deserved it anyway. He gets that. Rookies of the Year, Corey Seager was a lock in the National League. And then Michael Fulmer, who the Mets gave up for Yoenis Cespedes to the Tigers, was able to beat out Gary Sanchez, the phenomenal Yankees catcher who came on in the last month and had a great year. But Michael Fulmer was there all year, so he won the Rookie of the Year in the American League. And then in the Cy Young Awards, Rick Porcello for the Red Sox won, and Max Scherzer won handily in the National League. It was kind of close in the American League, actually. Justin Verlander came in second. Specifically, Porcello had 8 first-place votes and 18 second-place votes. Justin Verlander had 14 first-place votes. But the problem was that Kluber also had a lot of second place votes. So a lot of people.
Well, who had the most wins this year?
I believe Verlander had the most wins this year.
With.
Let me pull that up. Oh, you're killing me here.
does anybody have 20? I mean, does that happen anymore?
No, that definitely does not happen anymore.
18? Like, what would it be?
Hold on, pull them up real quick. For comparison's sake, Justin Verlander was 16-9 with a 3.04 ERA, 254 strikeouts. Rick Porcello, he had a record of, I'm sorry, you know, I would like to apologize. Rick Porcello had 22 wins and 4 losses, so I'd like to apologize that.
Nice.
He had about 70 less strikeouts, and he had an ERA 10 points higher than Verlander.
It's got to be about the wins.
Right, and Corey Kluber had 18 wins, 9 losses. He had more. He was in between Verlander and Porcello with strikeouts, and he had a 3.14 ERA. So I can see why a lot of people might have gone Porcello 1, Kluber 2, and Verlander, whereas some about all those other people who had Verlander first, they put Porcello second. So if you voted for Porcello first, you put Verlander second. If you put Verlander first, you put Porcello third. So Kluber took a lot of those second place votes that counted against him and with the voting, and that helped out that helped out Porcello. I'm sorry, Verlander got 14 first place votes, Porcello got 8 first place votes, but Porcello got 18 second place votes. Verlander only got 2 second place votes.
Wow.
So that means that he had a lot of farther down, like third and fourth and fifth place votes, whereas Porcello was either 1 or 2. And all those points vote up. So, you know, that's what happens. Yeah. So that's baseball. Moving over to the NBA really quickly. A lot of controversy going on with Phil Jackson making a lot of comments, basically talking about how he's not so subtly saying he wants out of New York. That's why there was an option in his contract after a couple years.
The option.
And then so long
bye, Felicia.
So long as the Dolans are in power, they're never going to be successful until one of those two are gone. So he says that. He also talks about he doesn't care anymore about the triangle offense, just whatever works, which if you're such a guru for one thing and
well,
it doesn't work.
It's become the Bermuda Triangle.
True. And making comments about LeBron that some say have gotten taken out of context. Others, including LeBron, says he lost respect for him.
Well, he used the word posse.
Posse, yes.
Now we know the other P word's been in the news, you know, recently.
Yes,
but
yeah.
There's, you know, I don't, you know, I don't see it as a slur, but,
Well,
you know, I think a posse is a group of people you hang out with.
True, but, you know, as one guy.
I don't see it as thuggery or gangster per se.
I don't know, but look who's got more power, a team president on a struggling major market franchise that's looking to leave, or the most popular basketball player in the world since Michael Jordan. Obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah. We know who's on the upswing and who's on the downswing.
Absolutely. So things aren't looking good for Phil Jackson. You know, somebody like Pat Riley was able to make the transition from bench to front office. I mean, he's got two titles as team president of the Heat.
Let's be honest. He's a $15 million a year consultant.
Who, Phil Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, this is a guy, he much rather would be out in L.A. working on that team, but he can't.
Well, remember, he wasn't going to travel. He wasn't going to do this. You know, I mean, when you're thinking about retiring or acting like it, you are.
Yeah, it's true. Very, very, very true.
MoveOn.com.
That's right. And also, one more football note. Let's move over to the, because now we're starting to get really close. Believe it or not, next week, as of this recording, is Thanksgiving. I cannot believe it myself. 1 week from now is Thanksgiving.
Old school, Dallas, Washington.
That's right. Yeah. Those are going to be some fun games. We're going to have to talk about those. But now we're going to have to start looking at the college football. I mean, we've only got 2 or 3 weeks left, and then that's the end of the regular season for college football. Three gigantic losses. First time in years that a 2, a 3, and a 4 all lose on the same weekend. Michigan loses in Iowa. Clemson loses in Clemson, which hurt probably the most, but not as badly as Washington losing in Washington to a USC team. Clemson
but
lost
a college Pitt. Football really about two teams?
Well, Alabama and whoever wins
Ohio State.
Ohio State or Michigan, whoever. Don't forget, both Ohio State and Michigan both have one loss. And they face each other the last week of the season. Now, here's where it gets really crazy. Penn State could actually supplant both of them.
That's crazy.
Maybe not at the top of the rankings, but at least
That's a Cinderella story?
I would say so. I mean, how many years since Sandusky? I mean, they had to rebuild that program. Bill O'Brien was there for 1 year, said he was going to stick around, left to go to the Texans, and here they are on the verge.
Well, all the talent left, it seemed, at one point.
It sure did. So here's what Penn State needs. They need to win at Rutgers. They need to beat, I believe, Indiana. And then they need Michigan to lose to Ohio State. Because if I remember correctly, Penn State has the win over Ohio State, so technically they win the division.
Shocking.
I know. So, yeah, so Penn State.
I got to root for them, sure.
I would think so. Now, here's the thing, though. They have two losses, and even if Ohio State beats Michigan, yes, that put Penn State into the championship game, but that means that they still have two losses, where Ohio State is sitting with one loss and has beaten, at the time, probably the third-ranked team, which is Michigan.
Yeah, well, they're the better team.
I think so, Ohio State. And plus, you know, everybody on that committee, Condoleezza Rice and Tom Osborne, everybody else is going to be saying Alabama versus Ohio State, Nick Saban versus Urban Meyer. They're going to want to see that in the playoffs,
course,
and they're probably going to put them 1 and 2 in that playoff position. But right now it's Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson if it were to end today in the playoffs, with Louisville, who has the best chance of taking over one of those spots, sitting on the outside at 9-1 as well. So it's very exciting. This is a good time of the year. This is when I really start paying attention to college football, because a loss here means everything. But I'm still not a fan of people looking at it and saying, look, well, you're a good team, but you lost. That's why I'm a big fan of the playoff, because we can really see who gets
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I think that works out great. And besides, you want to see college football? There's a zillion bowl games to watch, too.
Oh, it's a great... That's the best part. December's great, because you start with the Army Navy game, and then you just go bowl game, bowl game, bowl game. Even if you don't care, it's great to have in the background when guests are over for your holiday parties.
Absolutely.
So. All right, Dad. Well, thanks very much for joining me this week.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
All right. We'll talk to you. We're not going to see each other for Thanksgiving Day. However, we'll get a chance.
Unfortunate.
I know, but we will get a chance to talk, and don't you worry about that. Listeners, thank you very much for listening. If we don't see or talk to you before then, a happy Thanksgiving to you. Our number is 626-427-7678, and Andrew's going to tell you all about it. Here you go. Thanks, Andrew.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.